America weekend.
Oh, say hey, Willie, tell the cow and Joe DiMaggio, don't say it ain't so, you know the time is now.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. It is springtime when a man's thoughts turn to baseball. And yes, a woman's thoughts as well. I know it's 2015. Well, to get us ready for the 2015 Major League Baseball season, which starts this week, it is time to talk to our sports contributor. You hear him every couple of weeks here on the program with his Sports in Focus segment. It is a pleasure to welcome to the show and welcome into the studio, Adam Walsky. Adam, thanks for joining the show today.
Great to be here, Ed. Thanks. And it's one of my favorite times of the year, the start of baseball season. Also a big hockey fan. The Stanley Cup playoffs getting underway shortly. It's fun time when those two seasons kind of overlap.
Overlap they do. And baseball is the ultimate reality show. It unfolds over 6.5 months. It's the only sport that really goes day to day with the endless soap opera that creates upon itself. Well, we're going to start things off by talking about the divisions. We'll start with the National League. So let's start things off with the National League East. What do you see?
I think I see what pretty much everybody else sees. It's the Washington Nationals division to lose. I don't really see any of the other four teams being close to them. I do see the Marlins and the Mets making strides. They're trending upwards. They're not in Washington's league, though, and despite some injury problems with their offense, don't forget Jason Worth, not only injury problems, but some legal problems as well. Denard Span is not going to be ready for the start of the season, but still too much firepower with the Nationals and that pitching staff, especially that starting rotation. It was already formidable. Now with Max Scherzer, it's very, very tough to contend with, especially if you're going to see them 18 or 19 times during the season. So I see Washington winning this division fairly easily, but don't be surprised if the Marlins, especially, I like that young Marlin team, they may sneak in for a wild card.
And it'll be interesting to see Jose Fernandez and how he responds, as he was one of the millions of major league pitchers undergoing Tommy John surgery, but that's another story for another time. Let's jump over to the National League Central, and there's a team that always seems to somehow figure it out and get it done, they being the St. Louis Cardinals.
They are one of those teams that always finds a way. There are a couple of teams like that, and if you're not a fan of one of those teams, boy, you're jealous, because how are they doing it? I'll tell you how they're doing it. They're doing it through their farm system for the most part. And when they do sign somebody, it's usually a very intelligent move. Now, again, a very interesting trade, dealing away Shelby Miller and acquiring Jason Hayward from the Atlanta Braves. Not an exceptional offensive player, known primarily for his outfield defense, and he is an outstanding defensive outfielder. And the Cardinals, you have to wonder how they're going to find a way, but I don't see any other team in the Central Division heading them off at this time. Now, again, there are other teams on the rise, and there's definitely a vogue pick in that division, which we can get into, but I still see the Cardinals as the team to beat in the NL Central.
We jump over to the West, and with the Los Angeles Dodgers, what jumps out at you immediately is their payroll. At this point, it's got to be about $900 million. Anybody that's out there, they will snatch them up, and you can see they're trying to make a run, picking up Jimmy Rollins, picking up Howie Kendrick. So what do you see in the National League West?
A lot of people complain about the Yankees and their payroll, but actually, I believe the Dodgers are going to have a higher payroll than the Yankees this season, and might have last season as well, although there's some debate whether you include the Tanaka posting fee and Alex Rodriguez's money, which we can get into. But for a team with such a high payroll and a team that was in the postseason last year, they've really shuffled the deck, the Dodgers have. Matt Kemp is gone. Hanley Ramirez is gone. As you mentioned, Jimmy Rollins and Howie Kendrick are the new double play combination. And you have to wonder about the starting rotation after Clayton Kershaw and Zach Greinke. And you have to wonder a little bit about the tail end of their bullpen. But I still see the Dodgers as the team to beat in that division. But I like what the Padres did in this offseason. You talk about a bold move for a team that hasn't really done a lot lately. The Padres are a team to watch.
They certainly are, and that's a team that's been quiet for so long. They have a beautiful stadium. It's a lovely city, and if that's a team that can put a product on the field, they will draw. They could be quite the dark horse this year. Okay, now we switch to the junior circuit, the American League, and we will start things off in the American League East, and for years and years it was simply just a matter of Yankees or Red Sox. Sox, but that's not necessarily the case anymore.
No, I think this is the toughest division to call. I think you can make a pretty good case for four of the five teams potentially winning it. I wouldn't put Tampa in that mix. I think they're going to take a step back. But between Baltimore, Boston, the Yankees, and Toronto, like I said, you can make a strong case for any of those four. The Orioles managed to win it last year. I think they find a way this year, despite losing Nelson Cruz and Nick Markakis. They are counting on a return to health of Weeters and Machado, and I think if they can return to full health, they'll compensate for the loss of Cruz and Markakis. Pitching is a little bit questionable, but Buck Showalter, he's another one of those find-a-way guys. I think he'll find a way with the Orioles. The Red Sox, though, I expect to be in very strong contender.
We skip to the Central Division, home of the defending American League champion Kansas City Royals, and did you ever think you would ever put those two phrases together? What do you see in the Central Division?
They were a great story last year, making it all the way to the World Series and getting to Game 7 before finally losing to the Giants. Detroit's won this division four straight seasons. A lot of reasons not to pick them this year. The White Sox have certainly improved. They are certainly the Padres of the American League. They really shuffled the deck and made a lot of what I think are very good moves. Cleveland seems to be a team that everybody's in love with. They're the vogue pick of the American League. The Cubs are the vogue pick of the National League. I don't quite see it. I think this is a situation where you pick the champs until somebody dethrones them.
We head to the West, and for me, what is now the other team in the Los Angeles area, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, and that's a team that a couple of years ago really spent some big money. Albert Pujols, Josh Hamilton, they have who I think is the best all-around player in the game in Mike Trout, and they were on the verge of building a pretty good pitching staff. The longest tenured manager, Mike Socha. What do you see in the West, and what do you see for the Angels in particular?
It'll be an interesting year for them because Josh Hamilton, as we know, has relapsed, unfortunately. We certainly hope he can get himself back together. Major League Baseball will probably throw a suspension of some length, but without him, Albert Pujols reportedly is a little bit in better shape and supposedly looking more like the Pujols of old that we're used to with the Cardinals. Plus they have Trout, and I think between Garrett Richards and Matt Shoemaker, some of that young pitching, I think they have enough to hold off Seattle and Oakland in that division.
So then we get to October, and we won't break down the playoffs and all that, but let's just get to the World Series. Who will be the final two teams standing in October playing for it all?
Very tough to pick. I think a lot of people are looking for that team to come out of nowhere like the Royals did. I don't see it happening. This is the Nationals' year. Something tells me after a couple of playoff disappointments, early round losses, I think this is the year they get it figured out in the postseason with that pitching staff. Very, very tough to beat. So I know it's a chalk pick, but to go with the Nationals in the National League, in the American League, very tough. Yeah, you can make a case for a lot of teams. I don't think anybody's going to come out of nowhere like the Royals did last year, but I'll throw a kind of a out-of-nowhere team. I'll throw the Mariners out there. The Mariners. First ever World Series appearance for the Mariners.
Fall baseball in Seattle, folks. For both Adam and myself, it will be another sad season because we are both huge New York Met fans, but maybe things are finally starting to get better. And I keep Adam happy because Adam takes me to the games with his season tickets and he has wonderful seats at the game. All right, we will now touch on something that the new commissioner, Rob Manfred, has brought up. Is the season simply too long?
I think it is. You think about it now. Since 1995, since the strike of 94, you've added another tier of playoffs, and now you've added this wild card play-in game. Now, granted, it's only one game, but it's still another tier of playoffs, more travel involved. And what you see happening is you have the season starting now in early April, the potential for not only rain, we saw a whole series snowed out in Cleveland a few years ago, and the World Series has the potential to last into November. So it's too long. I would love to see, if you're going to keep all these playoffs, which I'm sure they want to do because those are the higher revenue generating games, lop 8 games off the regular season, start it a little bit later or end it a little bit earlier. I have no objection because you have just as much risk of bad weather in late October as you do in early April in some areas. I'd like to see them go back to 154 games. I believe the commissioner has shown a willingness to at least listen on that front. And it wouldn't be a significant drop in revenue, I don't think, because the eight games that you'd be losing are probably games that will not generate a lot of revenue anyway.
We have about a minute left, and there was one thing I do want to touch on. The idea of putting a time clock on pitchers and hitters and making them stay in the batter's box. Is introducing any sort of a time clock to the game of baseball destroying the tradition and the fiber and the fabric of the game?
I think you can do it without doing that. I think there are a couple of things you can do. I don't think, now players may complain, well, this is how I get ready to hit and that type of thing, and the pitchers go through their little ritual before they throw the ball. Fortunately, Steve Traxel is not in the major leagues anymore. Met and Cub fans certainly remember him. But I think if you just move things along. One thing I would like to see, it seems to me in the last 10 years especially, it seems that the catcher is wearing out a path to the pitcher's mound every game. So just about every hitter now requires a meeting at the mound, at least between the catcher and pitcher. Sometimes a couple of infielders join in. You have to eliminate those, in my opinion, and you can really cut into these length of the games.
So the 2015 baseball season is just about ready to get underway. And for me, it's about time. This is America Weekend, and I'm Ed Kalenge.
America Weekend.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call now. 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.